I've shut down all the parts of the sound system except for this one microphone, and we'll see if it works. The first and the third readings this morning, leave Colossians on one side for the moment, are reminders to us to consider the obvious, just to take things as they so obviously are. The Prophecy of Amos is a fascinating text. It's quite a short book, well worth a read. You'll find it towards the back of the Old Testament in among the so-called minor prophets. He prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century. And his prophecy is devastatingly simple. He sees injustice in the world around him. He sees a society in which inequality has grown and grown. He sees in particular a phenomenon which really makes him angry, and that is the way in which some members of the community have in effect been enslaved by others. It's a phenomenon that happened in other parts of the Eastern Mediterranean world at about this time. You have a smallholder, bad harvests, not enough revenue. You need capital to get the seed or to equipment that you need for the following year's farming. So you mortgage your farm. You have another bad harvest. You lose ownership of the farm. What can you mortgage now? You mortgage your own labour. And so you fall into various forms of bonded labour or debt slavery, selling the needy for a pair of shoes, as Amos puts it. This made him angry. This made him angry with a divine anger. Amos just understood that God is holy, God is good, God is utterly uncompromised in his total integrity. And the kind of society he saw about him, which was constructed on an entirely different kind of moral standard, couldn't survive an encounter with the goodness and holiness of God. So righteousness would come down like an everlasting stream and everything would be swept away. Small wonder that the government didn't care much for Amos and for his prophecy, and that this senior figure Amaziah is sent to shut him up. And Amos will not be shut up. And he says, I'm not a professional prophet. I'm not a prophet's son, by which he probably doesn't mean my father wasn't a prophet. He probably means I'm not a member of the National Union of Prophets, the B'nai Nevi'im, the Sons of the Prophets, the Prophetic Guild. I'm not a professional. I'm simply a herdsman, and on the side, a dresser of sycamore trees. I just looked out at the world around me, and I knew that it was obviously wrong, and that is what I bear testimony to. He is the prophet of the morally obvious, in all its power and in all its simplicity. There's something similar going on in the Gospel. That, too, is an invitation to consider the obvious moral sense of the passage. It tells us that ordinary human compassion comes first. It trumps everything. There's a reason why the priest doesn't stop to help the man by the roadside. It's because if the man by the roadside is dead, or if the priest indeed even comes into contact with shed blood, he becomes ritually unclean, he contracts uncleanness, and that's his diary cancelled for the week. The priest is going to let an awful lot of people down if he can't do the things that he's meant to be doing as a priest. He daren't take the risk. The Levite is in a similar position, and that's why it is specifically a priest and a Levite that pass by on the other side.